I want you to turn again to Ephesians 4, and then hold that spot, and then turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, of course, is one of the most familiar texts in all of Scripture with regards to communion, the Lord's Supper, and how it's to be conducted in a local church. It's a chapter that we have taught on many, many times, and we're going to begin with it tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice verse 23. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Our Father in heaven, please help us tonight to discern the Lord's body, to properly observe this communion supper. Help us to remember, Father, all the things that you've called us to remember, and help us to understand what it means for all of us here in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to notice in the text tonight how God uses a little Greek conjunction in order to remind us of an enormous and very powerful communion truth. Verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, the word that you'll notice here is this little word till, T-I-L-L. Obviously, if you're a traveler on a journey, that word would be incredibly important to you. Nobody wants to remain on a journey without end. Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew chapter 23, verse 39, "Ye shall not see me henceforth till," T-I-L-L, "till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." It's a reminder to the disciples that one of these days their journey, their pilgrimage would be over and they would see him again. Hold your place and turn ahead a few pages to Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 11. "And he," the Spirit, "gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ," and here's that word again, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And so, here you have, if you look at both of these texts, you will notice we have till he come, and that's in our text in Corinthians, and now it says till we come. And again, the whole point, the entire point of the word till in these texts is not so much as what we are coming to or what's coming to us, but it's a conjunction that emphasizes the fact of its coming. In other words, what this little word emphasizes is the future. It is the fact, the truth, the realization that indeed we are all coming to something, and something is coming to all of us. So that, you know, everything that's happening around us and to us and through us, whatever it is, whatever happens in 2013, all of that is happening till or until. Turn ahead a few pages to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, familiar text as well. Paul says in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ." Now look. There are many other verses. In fact, you can go all the way back in the book of Genesis and all the way through to the book of Revelation. You will find that God oftentimes and strategically uses this word till. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, God says, "The scepter shall not depart out of Judah till Shiloh," you know what the word Shiloh means, "till Shiloh come." In Revelation 2 and verse 25, Jesus said, "That which ye have already hold fast till I come again." From Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between, God speaks to his people with this great word, the word till. Including, of course, in our great communion text tonight. And I have to tell you, beloved, that when you go through the scriptures and you look at when and how this word is used by God, you realize that it, in many ways, is sort of a master key. It's sort of a glimmer, that first glimmer of a new dawn, the trickling part of a stream that marks an abundant supply of water that comes behind it. It is a taste of the grapes of Eshcol and the glory that's to follow. Why? Because, folks, God uses this word, till, for the simple truth. And for the simple fact that his people are indeed coming to something. And something is coming to them. And may I say, it is not a word that it's very encouraging. It's not reassuring at all or full of meaning unless you're saved. It has meaning tonight because you're saved. What in the world did this word till mean to you back when you were lost? Keep on working, keep on making money, keep on schmoozing with friends, keep doing and struggling until, till what? Till you die and you're gone. And you're gone from this place and you leave it all behind. Keep on struggling, keep on suffering, keep on sorrowing till... till you go to the grave and eternal suffering in the fires of hell? You see, folks, this little word is a great divider. This little word speaks volumes about life and about death and what's to come. And for every person in this room who knows the Lord, God has a message in this one little word. The message begins, number one, with the word perseverance. You're in Philippians 1, right? Look at verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." In other words, Paul, who wrote this book from a prison cell, tells these Philippians to use judgment and discernment. In verse 7, he talks about the defense of the gospel. In verse 13, verse 16, you'll notice he speaks of bonds and afflictions, all of which are a result of who they were and who he was in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28. "In nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God." Now, wait a minute. Adversaries? Bonds and afflictions? Verse 30 says conflict. Yes. And God says to persevere through all of this. What? Till. Just keep on going. Keep on serving. Keep being faithful till the day of Christ. Why the day of Christ? It's simple, because at that day, all the wrongs will be made right. At that day, justice and righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, the Bible says. Ezekiel talked about that day, and he also used the word till. You know what he said in Ezekiel 21:27? "There shall be no king until he come, whose right it is." In other words, a lot of people these days are in a lot of positions of authority when in fact they have no right to be in that authority. A lot of earthly kings, a lot of earthly leaders have no moral, spiritual, legal, or natural right to execute decisions and justice and judgment upon others. That's just the way it's always been. And that is the way that it'll always be, and it'll stay that way. What? Till. Till the day of Christ, when he whose right it is will rule and reign forever and ever. And so God says to us, fight the good fight, keep the faith, endure afflictions, defend the gospel, don't give up. Pastor, it sure would be nice if we lived in a Christian nation again, if the truth would rule in our land and not be fallen the street. It would be nice if sin and sorrow and sickness were gone, if Jesus held the scepter of the kingdom itself, it sure would be nice if the adversary were already chained in the abyss forever and ever. Wouldn't that be nice, Pastor? I just can't wait. And I have two answers for that. Number one, it is going to be nice. You know, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen? I mean, it is going to be nice. Number two, I can wait. I don't want to wait. I would rather not wait, but we can wait. In fact, what we're commanded to do is occupy, what's the word? Till he come. Amen. Occupy till he come. Perseverance. That's number one, till he come. The second thing you'll notice is the word perfection, till we come. Go back to Ephesians 4, would you? Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That means the completing, the maturing, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete man, under the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. You see the word till in verse 13 is the antecedent of verse 12. And specifically the word perfecting, till we all come. It's a reminder tonight that God is not finished with us yet. He's working on all of us. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. He's working on us, and this very communion service instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ the last night on this earth, this very communion service is a means to that very growth. Look again at our original text for a moment. We're going to pray for the bread, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." The Lord Jesus wanted us, as oft as you will, to take a symbol that he instituted way back from Passover, unleavened bread. He wanted us from time to time, until he comes again, till he returns, to remember the sacrifice, the broken body that made our salvation possible. That is one of the great means of our edification, of our growing in our faith. I'm going to ask Brother Chris if he would to stand and ask God's blessing upon the bread. When he prays for the bread, Stephen, I'll prepare it to be passed out.
Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to come to remember what Christ did do for us at the cross. We know we don't deserve it. We thank you so much for it. We're grateful that you do continue to work in our lives, even when we don't deserve it. Lord, we just thank you that we do have it until you can help us, Lord, to look forward. Knowing that we have a home in heaven. Help us to remember those around us who don't have that home. Help us to share the gospel with them. Father, now as we take this bread, we just thank you for the opportunity that you give us to remember. Help this service to be a time we serve you in a new and fresh way and leave your change. We just thank you so much.
We mentioned a moment ago that the word till is a word about perseverance, about being faithful. And you know what? It surely was for those disciples at the Last Supper that night. Because, and he used the word till for their sakes, there was much ahead and in store for them. In their lives and the days ahead, all of them virtually would suffer and be martyred for their faith, other than John, who would be imprisoned. But the Lord reminded them that whatever it was till. There was a time they would come to that supper again with him. You know, the scripture says, considered him who endured such contradiction of sinners. One of the reasons for communion is so that we, to help us continue and persevere, we would look at what Jesus did. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he endured such contradiction of sinners. Years ago in my devotions, I underlined in verse 23 the words, the same night in which he was betrayed. You know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit could have said anything about that night. The same night in which he washed their feet. There were many things that happened. But he emphasized the fact that the same night that he was betrayed. He was betrayed in the hands of sinners. He endured the contradiction of sinners. What's your salvation testimony? Brother Carl's here tonight. He's gonna give us his salvation testimony. Brother Carl, would you please?
I was 17 years old, and I was living in Iowa at the time. I was playing a lot of tennis, and I was on my way to drive from our small town, Webster City, Iowa, to Des Moines, Iowa, to practice, and then I was going to come to Florida in Tampa to practice for a week. So I drove up to Des Moines, and on my way up, my car stalled on Highway 35. And my brother Pierre was going to medical school at the time, and so I called him, and he came and got me, and neither of us knew anything about cars. We knew how to put gas in it, and that was about it. So we decided to call a tow truck, and we called a tow truck, and we got in this car. Some things had happened in my brother Pierre's life before this time. He had gone to a Dairy Queen. He was reading the Bible, trying to find some answers in his life. And there was a Christian man there that went to a Baptist church that thought that he was saved and said, where do you go to church? And he said, well, I go to the Catholic church, but I'm reading the Bible trying to find some answers to life. And that man brought my brother to church, and my brother received Christ as a Savior. A lot of things changed in his life. He had a Bible everywhere he went. He talked about the Lord. He stopped cussing. He stopped doing a whole lot of things. And for us, he was just weird. So he told me when I got in his car, he said, Carl, I'm late for church. We have play practice, and you're going to have to come with me because I'm late. And I said, I don't want to go to the church. I don't want anything to do with it. And I didn't have a car, so he just took me over to his church. And I wanted to sit in the parking lot, just sit in the car. And he's bigger than I am, so he got me to go in. And it was the first time I went into a church that people were actually happy about being in church. Hmm. People shaking your hand and just joyful. And so we stayed there for a little while and then got back in the car. And he said, Carla, I need to go pick up some papers at my friend Dennis's house. We have to do that, then we'll go home. And I told my brother, I said, I have to go to Florida in the morning. I'm tired. Can you just take me home? And he said, no, I really have to get these papers. And it was a setup. He brought me over to his friend's house. I remember this big yellow house there. And we went inside. We went right into the library. And they said, Carl, you know for sure if you die today, if you go to heaven. And I looked at the guys and said, you don't know that. I can't know that. There's no way anybody can know that. And they said, if we could share with you from the scriptures how you could know for sure that when you die, you'd have a home in heaven, could we show you? And I said, yes. And they opened up the scripture, and they shared with me how I could be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by putting my trust and faith in him. And March 20th, 1993, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved my soul. I remember going to my brother's house after, and we were talking, and I said, I don't even care about going to Florida. I said, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And, it was amazing. Came back from Florida, and the mechanic said there was nothing wrong with my car. He got in the garage and started right now.
Amen. That's awesome. That's the first time I've heard the Holy Spirit break in a car for someone, but the Lord can do anything. Thank you, Brother Carl. And you think about your salvation testimony, and you know that it's of God's grace, and you know that it's only because the Lord Jesus, God's Son. You think about the scriptures and what they say. You know, the scripture here says that the people at Corinth were not discerning the Lord's body. They were just getting drunk and having fellowship and sort of disowning the poor people in the church. It was a horrible thing they were doing. But discerning the Lord's body simply means you recognize what the Scripture says, that he was buffeted by Roman soldiers, that he was crucified, that he was beat at a Roman whipping post, that he broke his body. The Lord Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Our Father, thank you tonight for reminding us all that the Lord Jesus went through for us, physically even. We know and we have embraced all of the Scriptures concerning his taking our sin. But we also know, Father, that you want us to remember. There is no sickness that we endure. There is no physical pain or hardship, no contradiction of sinners, no betrayal that ever cut deeper than the pain and the suffering that your Son went through on our behalf. And we remember and thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 again. Here's what Paul says in verse 25. "After the same manner also, he," Jesus, "took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." I'm going to ask Brother Sam if he would to stand and ask for God's blessing upon the juice. Brother Sam Eisenbach, please.
Father, again tonight we do thank and praise you for all that you've done for us. Father, thank you for the time when you can once again bring to remembrance what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He died on the cross, the suffering, the pain, and the anguish that he endured, not for his own sins, but for our sins. Father, thank you for the blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we do thank you for the blood tonight and all that it means to us. The wonderful assurance that we can have in heaven and our home.
Amen.
And thank you, Father. Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Brother Carl's testimony reminded me of something yesterday with men's prayer meeting. Bob Weber showed up. He was in full uniform, state trooper uniform, had his gun, the whole thing. He looked scary and sharp as always. And I asked him, I said, "Brother Bob, I want you to go visitation with me today, because when you and I go up to the door, it's going to look really good, and people will look out the window, and especially when I say, 'If you were to die today, I want you to put your hand right here. Are you sure you'd be in heaven?'" It's our new soul-winning strategy. But when Carl said that someone asked him that question, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd be in heaven?" I remember at the age of 12, I was in a classroom just before, the 2 days before riding the bus. And a girl asked me that question. "If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" And I didn't know that. I didn't know that all of those 12 years. And I got to thinking, what a blessing, Carl, to be able to say yes. If someone were to ask me that today, instead of being fearful, I would have a smile on my face. I would be thrilled that they asked the question. And that's, of course, by the grace of God. You know, verse 28 says that communion is the ideal time to examine yourself so that you are taking the communion in the right way, worthily. It's an adverb. It's a reminder that we're human, that you have to make sure you're doing this. We have the frailties, all of them, the faults of our humanity. So that what we are called to do, as this word "till" says over and over again, is grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To keep on pressing on the upward way, new heights we're gaining every day, and to keep on growing and persevering till. It's till we come, and then it says till he come, and then we're together in the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, for every Christian in this room tonight, we can rejoice that we're coming to something. And something is coming to us. I don't know about you, but I would hate to go through life learning and struggling and growing and working only to realize at the end that it wasn't coming to anything. The folly of that. Thank God we are not on a road to nowhere. It was our Lord himself who said in the upper room at the Last Supper, he said, "I will not henceforth drink of this fruit of the vine till that day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. In other words, the next time the Lord Jesus takes communion with his own is when we see him.
Amen.
It was a promise that till... What's your salvation testimony, Brother Terry? Why don't you stand real quick and tell us how you came to know the Lord, Brother Terry Frost.
My parents were Christians, were saved, and I grew up in a Christian home. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, and that kind of an environment. And I also, from 2 weeks old on up, attended and went to an independent Baptist church. So as a result of that, one summer after a week of VBS, as a little boy, 5 years old, I called upon Jesus Christ as my Savior in my home. Parents led me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. At 5 years old, I knew what to do. I knew what the gospel was, and I knew that if I didn't accept Christ, I knew where I was going, and I didn't want to go there. So I accepted Christ at 5 years old, and that's why I thought today, Tammy and I had children's church, 5-year-old children's church this morning. And looking at those, we had, it was 9 or 10 in class this morning. I thought that at 5 years old, their age, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And that's why I always take seriously what a little one, a young one says. You never know what's going through their mind and in their hearts. And I take it serious. And I take it serious when they talk about serving Jesus Christ in a full-time manner. At early elementary school age, I felt the call of the Lord into full-time Christian ministry. And I was saved at 5, and that was, I almost hate to say this, 62 years ago. And I used to think that that was old. Now I no longer think that that's that old. But that's old. But at an early age also, around kindergarten, first grade, second grade, I experienced the call of the Lord into full-time ministry. And it was just this past year, 2012, that it's been 40 years that Tam and I have been in active ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best part about that is that we're still doing it. We continue, and we haven't stopped, and I want to say that it is far more than Tammy and I being faithful, and we want to be. It is that our God is always faithful.
Amen.
When we're not. And we know that very well and understand that. As 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace. And my desire is for me and for my wife and for us is that we finish strong by his grace. We continue until he calls us home, and or until we see him face to face. We finish strong. Never stop by his grace.
Amen. 62 years saved and not gotten over it at all. You know, Brother Carl's testimony was saved in the 1990s, right? In the 1990s, and then Brother Terry, the 1890s or whatever it is, if you do the math, it was a long time ago. But the point is, salvation is real. And the Lord saved them both, and he saved you, and he saved me. And he did so because as the sinless Son of God, without spot, without blemish, this Lamb gave his sinless blood, his perfect blood. He shed his blood for our sins. And the Lord Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Our Father, we are reminded just with the taste of the fruit of the vine, that it was a long time ago, and how many hundreds of millions, even billions of times Christians have observed this communion. It was a long time ago that the Lord Jesus took that same fruit of the vine with the apostles, reminding them that one day we will all drink it together in the kingdom, and of the increase of that kingdom there shall be no end. I pray, Father, that we will persevere. I pray, Father, that we will continue to go on, that we are coming till to something. And I pray that in that blessed hope, Christ coming to us, you'll help us to be faithful to you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. May this year, this new year you've given us, Father, be a year in which we grow to love you and to know you better than ever before. And we will praise you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.